All perfect praise is due to Allah. I testify that there is none worthy of worship except Allah, and that Muhammad is his slave and messenger. May Allah exalt his mention as well as his family and all his companions. Slaves of Allah, Ramadan has ended and departed, and how grieved and sorrowful we are at its exit. However, blessful is the one who deposited in his record during it righteous deeds, and miserable is the one who squandered the rights of this month. After its departure, we must pause and ponder upon certain matters and reminders regarding this great month. First, who is the one who truly benefits from the month of Ramadan? The Prophet ﷺ said, as reported in the books of Imam al-Bukhari and Muslim, may Allah have mercy upon them, whoever observes fasting during the month of Ramadan out of sincere faith and hoping to attain Allah's reward, then all his past sins will be forgiven. Also in the books of Imam al-Bukhari and Muslim, may Allah have mercy upon them, he ﷺ said, whoever stood for prayers in the night of Qadr, i.e. a night of lofty rank during which all matters are decreed, out of sincere faith and hoping for a reward from Allah, then all his previous sins will be forgiven. In the same books, he sallallahu alayhi wasallam said, whoever establishes prayers during the nights of Ramadan faithfully, out of sincere faith and hoping to attain Allah's reward, i.e. not for show, all his past sins will be forgiven. Therefore, forgiveness of sins occurs due to any one of the three above mentioned deeds. Each one in isolation expiates previously committed sins, and these three deeds are fasting the month of Ramadan, praying the optional night prayer during its nights, and praying the optional night prayers during the night of Al-Qadr. The forgiveness of sins in return for praying during the night of Al-Qadr occurs whether or not one recognizes that it is the night of Al-Qadr, whereas the first two types of deeds require the completion of the full month in fasting or praying the optional night prayers every night for the entire month. The one who has imperfection or incompletion in his deeds will lose out on the reward that is in proportion to his negligence. Allah has warned those who are negligent with regards to their prayers, saying, in verses 4 and 5 of chapter Al-Ma'un,
فَوَيْلٌ لِلْمُصَلِّينَ الَّذِينَ هُمْ عَنْ صَلَاتِهِمْ سَاهُونَ,
which means, so woe to those who pray, but who are heedless of their prayer. This warning is for those who are only negligent. So how would the case be regarding those who totally abandoned their prayers? How would the case be for those who did not fast at all whilst being counted amongst the Muslim nation? Didn't the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wasallam say, he who lives to see Ramadan and was not forgiven, i.e. due to his sin and negligence, may Allah expel him from his mercy? Jibreel had said this to the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wasallam and told him to say Ameen after saying it, and he sallallahu alayhi wasallam did. This is a supplication against such a type of people because they did not utilize the month as it should have been utilized. It is a great season that passed them by without them taking advantage of it. Such people deserve this because if they are negligent during such a great season, then they will certainly be more so during other times. And thus, they do not deserve the mercy of Allah nor His forgiveness. Undoubtedly, many of us have had numerous shortcomings regarding the etiquettes of Ramadan, its recommended acts, and even some of its obligations. Which brings us to the second point. Second, we must repent to Allah for our shortcomings during this month, whether it is regarding our prayers or our fasting. And we must ask the forgiveness of Allah for these shortcomings and for not utilizing the month as it should have been utilized. Imam Al-Hasan, may Allah have mercy upon him, said, exert extra effort in asking for the forgiveness of Allah, because man does not know when the mercy of Allah will descend upon the people. Allah parallels Tawheed, i.e. Islamic monotheism, with asking forgiveness when he says in the 19th verse of chapter Muhammad,
فَاعْلَمْ أَنَّهُ لَا إِلَهَ إِلَّا اللَّهُ وَاسْتَغْفِرْ لِذَنْبِكَ,
which means, so know, O Muhammad, that there is no deity except Allah, and ask forgiveness for your sins. This is to reflect the importance of this act. Satan said, I will destroy people by beautifying sinning for them, and they will destroy me by frequently supplicating for the forgiveness of Allah. Supplicating for forgiveness is the culmination of all righteous deeds. With it, one concludes his prayer, pilgrimage, optional night prayers, and people's gatherings. So if the gathering was that which included the mention of Allah, then it would only add to its beauty. Otherwise, if people were heedless within it, then this supplication would expiate their heedlessness or the minor sins that they committed during it. Likewise, one should conclude Ramadan with supplications for forgiveness. Just as Umar ibn Abdul Aziz, may Allah have mercy upon him, instructed his deputies in different regions to conclude the month with seeking and supplicating for forgiveness and paying zakat al-fitr. For the latter purifies the fasting person from whatever disputes he had orally, while seeking forgiveness makes up for the imperfections that the fasting contained due to the sins that the person committed. Indeed, our fasting necessitates that we seek a great deal of forgiveness. How many a times do we disturb our fasting with evil talk or wicked sins? Some of our righteous salaf, may Allah have mercy upon them, would ask for forgiveness immediately after having performed their prayers, if they had any shortcomings in them. Just as a person would seek forgiveness for a sin that he has committed. If this was the case with regard to their prayers, then how would the case have been regarding their sins? Verily, the most beneficial type of seeking forgiveness is that which one accompanies with sincere repentance. Additionally, seeking forgiveness is a cure and a deterrent against recommitting the sin. Those who verbally sought forgiveness but were determined to return to their sins after Ramadan will have their repentance as well as their fasting rejected. Thus, we must exert much effort in seeking forgiveness sincerely and not merely verbally. Perhaps Allah will forgive our sins and shortcomings. Third, people have prayed, fasted, performed umrah, spent in charity, supplicated, and recited the Qur'an. But the important question is, have any of these deeds been accepted? Allah says in the 27th verse of chapter Al-Ma'idah,
إِنَّمَا يَتَقَبَّلُ اللَّهُ مِنَ الْمُتَّقِينَ,
which means, indeed, Allah only accepts from the righteous who fear Him. Fudala ibn Ubayd, may Allah be pleased with him, would say, if I knew that Allah had accepted from me something as minor as a seed's weight of good deeds, then that would be more beloved to me than possessing this world and all that it contains. Because Allah says, then he would recite the above-mentioned verse. our righteous Salaf, may Allah have mercy upon them, would exert extra efforts in worship and then rebuke themselves and doubt that their deeds were acceptable to Allah. They were described by Allah as He mentions in the 60th verse of chapter Al-Mu'minun,
وَالَّذِينَ يُؤْتُونَ مَا آتَوا وَقُلُوبُهُمْ وَجِلَةٌ,
which means, and they who give what they give while their hearts are fearful. They would be far more concerned about the acceptance of the deeds than their amount. What good is left in the one who missed out on the virtue of Ramadan? What greater disaster is there than being deprived from the mercy and forgiveness of Allah in this month? O Muslims, those pious people from whom Allah accepts righteous deeds have a distinct sign, which is refraining from sinning after the conclusion of the month. Fourth, continuing the performance of good deeds after the conclusion of Ramadan. Many are those who think that they have performed scores of good deeds, and they thus rely on this, believing that they have enough good deeds in their record, which leads us to the fourth reminder. The real pious ones are those who continue to remain as devout worshippers, even after the conclusion of the month. When Allah describes the devout believers and worshippers, He does not restrict their devotion and obedience to a certain or a limited period, but rather, He describes them to be always as such, and not only during Ramadan. Allah says in verses 1 through 5 of chapter Al-Mu'minun,
قَدْ أَفْلَحَ الْمُؤْمِنُونَ الَّذِينَ هُمْ فِي صَلَاتِهِمْ خَاشِعُونَ وَالَّذِينَ هُمْ عَنِ اللَّغْوِ مُعْرِضُونَ وَالَّذِينَ هُمْ لِلزَّكَاةِ فَاعِلُونَ وَالَّذِينَ هُمْ لِفُرُوجِهِمْ حَافِظُونَ,
which means, certainly will the believers have succeeded. They who are during their prayer humbly submissive, and they who turn away from ill speech, and they who are observant of zakah, and they who guard their private parts. The reason for this is that we Muslims are commanded to be devout until death. As Allah says in the 99th verse of chapter Al-Hijr,
وَاعْبُدْ رَبَّكَ حَتَّى يَأْتِيَكَ الْيَقِينَ,
which means, and worship your Lord until there comes to you the certainty, i.e. death. Thus, one must persevere and remain steadfast upon worshipping Allah and being obedient to Him. Perhaps this is the reason why it was legislated for us to fast 6 optional days in the month of Shawwal, which directly follows the month of Ramadan. And this was made equivalent in reward to fasting for the whole year, because the reward is multiplied tenfold, which means that the 30 days of Ramadan are equal to 300 days, while the 6 that follow in Shawwal are equal to 60 more days, which constitutes a full year in terms of reward. Fifth, we should not be deceived by the acts of worship that we perform during the month. Some people exert great efforts by reciting the whole Quran in this month, and some of them recite even more than that. Also, people prayed Taraweeh, and some waited in the mosque for the end of the prayer until the time of the next one. Others remained mentioning Allah from the Fajr prayer until sunrise, the reward of which is like that of performing a Hajj and a Umrah. Some people perform all these deeds, but deep down inside, they are corrupt. Thus, Satan will whisper to them to make them feel that they have performed many good deeds and thus accumulated mountains of rewards and that their balance is therefore very high, until they become deceived and arrogant. If one recalls a single verse from the Quran, such thoughts and feelings would immediately cease. It is the saying of Allah in chapter Al-Muddathir, verse 6,
وَلَا تَمْنُن تَسْتَكْثِرُ,
which means, and do not confer favor to acquire more. How can anyone possibly confer favor upon Allah? How can one dare to feel this way just because he performed certain deeds, as if he did Allah a favor? With this verse, Allah was addressing the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam, warning him from becoming deceived with the worship he was performing, lest he becomes arrogant. If one ever feels he has performed plentiful, then just let him compare his deeds to those of the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam. In order to make the matter clear in people's minds, the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam said, if a man was to be dragged on his face from the day he was born until he died for the sake of pleasing Allah, he would belittle his deeds on the day of resurrection. This means that one would find all he did insignificant and worthless in comparison to a single favor bestowed upon him from his Lord. Like, for example, the favor of eyesight. This is why people are not granted paradise due to their deeds, but rather they attain it due to the mercy of Allah alone. People's deeds are not the price for paradise, but they are a means to gain the mercy of Allah, by which one is admitted into paradise. To conclude this point, we remind the Muslims that despite the obligation of continuing upon obedience and the performance of good deeds after Ramadan, one should not, on the other hand, overburden himself by attempting to do more good deeds than he can bear. Sixth, there is great benefit in constantly being upon obedience and worship. It is not a necessity for one to remain as keen after Ramadan as he was during it, because as we all know, that it is a magnificent and unique season, the like of which does not exist. There is no other month that includes the bestowal of the mercy of Allah, His forgiveness, and the ability of performing good deeds like Ramadan. Thus, we are not suggesting that people need to remain as they were during that blessed month, because they will simply not be able to bear that. But what we are saying is that people must not totally stop acts of worship and virtue just because that month has finished. It is dangerous to suddenly abandon everything and stop all deeds. One should not abandon fasting, optional night prayers, recitation of the Quran, supplication, and so on. No, rather, one needs to perform these deeds, even if it is on a much lower scale. But the point is that we must perform them as little as they may be. If a slave is used to certain acts of worship and stops due to travel or sickness, then Allah will continue to reward him for these deeds, even if he does not perform them, because he was continuous in their performance. As per the saying of the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam, if a slave becomes sick, Allah says to the honorable recording angels, record for my slave the same good deeds until I either take his soul, i.e. cause him to die, or grant him health, i.e. cure him from his sickness. This narration reflects the benefit of constantly being upon obedience and worship. Seventh, continuing to be upon obedience to Allah is a reason for one to be granted a good end. As the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam said, if Allah wills good for one of his slaves, he uses him. It was asked, how did he use him? He sallallahu alayhi wa sallam replied, he, i.e. Allah, enables him to perform a righteous deed before his death and then takes his soul whilst he is in that state. Thus we must continue to be upon obedience and worship at all times. When few people are upon worship and during times of hardship when people are heedless of being obedient, the reward of being virtuous is greater. O Muslims, there is a great concept that we must always bear in mind. Worship must be the essence of our lives. It is not an incidental matter or a temporarily one that is limited or restricted to a certain time or place. 8. Those who entered Ramadan whilst upon disobedience and departed from it whilst remaining upon disobedience did not get any benefit from Ramadan whatsoever. This is a serious and dangerous matter because when describing the hypocrites, Allah says in the 61st verse of chapter Al-Ma'idah,
وَإِذَا جَاءُوكُمْ قَالُوا آمَنَّا وَقَدْ دَخَلُوا بِالْكُفْرِ وَهُمْ قَدْ خَرَجُوا بِهِ وَاللَّهُ أَعْلَمُ بِمَا كَانُوا يَكْتُمُونَ.
Which means, and when they come to you, they say, we believe. But they have entered with disbelief in their hearts, and they have certainly left with it. And Allah is most knowing of what they were concealing. Commenting on this verse, Imam Ibn Kathir, may Allah have mercy upon him, said, the hypocrites entered into the presence of the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wasallam and heard what he had to say. Yet, they left upon the same state of disbelief. So the admonition did not yield any fruits with them. Therefore, anyone who departs from Ramadan without being affected or improved in the least is addressed by this verse. Those who begin the month whilst on disobedience and return to it as soon as it ends, or are even more disobedient afterwards, did not benefit from the month. They did not repent and refrain from sinning, nor did they regret it in any way. It is as if the month was a temporary stage for them, after which resumed their evil lifestyle. The question here is, did such evil souls truly worship Allah during this month as He is due to be worshipped? And did they obey Allah to begin with during this month? And did they fulfill His due rights? It is a disaster that an adulterer or one who is used to consuming intoxicants or dealing in riba resumes his regular behavior and actions as soon as the month is over. The same goes for those who waste their time in gatherings of vain talk or who take holidays with many prohibitions within them. O Muslims, some people mistakenly believe that the deeds they might have performed during Ramadan are enough to expiate their sins for the remaining 11 months of the year. They thus easily disobey Allah before and after Ramadan. How can they guarantee the acceptance of their deeds during Ramadan to begin with? How do they know that Allah did not reject all their deeds, let alone forgive their sins? 9. Many cases are brought to our attention after the conclusion of the month, which are serious disasters, such as some people eating during the days of Ramadan, i.e. breaking their fast, to please, for example, the disbelievers at their workplace. Others have sexual intercourse with their spouses during the daytime, which is one of the worst ways of illegally breaking a fast. and its expiation is that the person who does so must free a slave a very stern punishment. If he cannot find a slave, or is financially unable to, then he must fast for 2 consecutive months. And if he is physically unable to do so, then he must feed 60 poor or needy people. It is bad enough to have sexual intercourse with one's own spouse during the daytime in Ramadan. So how would the case be? And how severe would the evil be if it was adultery, fornication, or sodomy that was committed? 10th, who are the real winners? Allah says in the 185th verse of chapter Al-Imran,
فَمَنْ زُحْزِحَ عَنِ النَّارِ وَأُدْخِلَ الْجَنَّةَ فَقَدْ فَازَ.
Which means, so he who is drawn away from the fire and admitted into paradise has attained his desire. And also, in the 20th verse of chapter Al-Hashr, Allah says,
لا يستوي أصحاب النار وأصحاب الجنة أصحاب الجنة هم الفائزون.
Which means, not equal are the companions of the fire and the companions of paradise. The companions of paradise, they are the attainers of success. Allah also says regarding the dwellers of paradise in the 11th verse of chapter Al-Buruj,
لَهُمْ جَنَّاتٌ تَجْرِي مِنْ تَحْتِهَا الْأَنْهَارُ ذَلِكَ الْفَوْزُ الْكَبِيرُ.
Which means, for them will be gardens beneath which rivers flow, that is the great attainment. Indeed, this is true success and real victory. All perfect praise is due to Allah. I testify that there is none worthy of worship except Allah, and that Muhammad is His slave and messenger. May Allah exalt His mention as well as His family and all His companions. Slaves of Allah, Ramadan has departed and has left our heart distressed. But we are now in another blessed month, the month of Shawwal. It is the first of the 3 consecutive sacred months, namely Shawwal, Dhul Qa'dah, and Dhul Hijjah, during which one can initiate his pilgrimage. The season of Hajj is for people to remember that they must continue upon obedience, and that they have departed one great season only to enter into another one. Also, during this month, we have the 6 days of fasting and the making up for whatever one missed during Ramadan. The Prophet ﷺ used to make up the days of i'tikaf, i.e. residing in the mosque with the intention of worship, which he had missed during Ramadan in the month of Shawwal. Thus, one may make up any act which he missed during Ramadan, like jihad or any other act of worship. We must remind those who missed any days of fasting in Ramadan due to travel, sickness, menstruation, or any other sound excuse, that they should make them up. Making up for them may be done consecutively or at any point later in the year, and it need not be done in succession, but it is best for one to begin making them up immediately, lest he falls into disobedience. This is because the one who delays making them up and lets a year pass is a sinner, and he must therefore repent to Allah. On the other hand, if one delays for such a period with a valid excuse, then he's not included in this ruling. One who is making them up does not have the option of breaking his fast on the days on which he is making up the missed days. and he must have the intention of fasting before dawn on the days on which he intends to fast, exactly like the case of the days in Ramadan. Making up for the missed days of Ramadan, take precedence over fasting the optional 6 days of Shawwal. Because the Prophet ﷺ said, as in the narration in the book Imam Muslim, may Allah have mercy upon him, whoever fasts Ramadan and follows it with 6 days in Shawwal every year, it will be for him as if he fasted for his whole lifetime. It is permissible for one who wishes to fast these 6 optional days in Shawwal to do so without having the intention for it on the night before each fast, which is the opposite of what one must do in the case of obligatory fasting. One who is fasting these optional days may break his fast during the day if he chooses to do so, because the Prophet ﷺ did in an incident that is reported in the book of Imam Muslim, may Allah have mercy upon him. Mujahid, may Allah have mercy upon him, said, commenting on this incident, the same also applies for one who takes out charity money intending to spend it, but then changes his mind. On the other hand, it must be known that if the charity has already reached the poor, then it is not permissible to take it back from them. Regarding pregnant women and breastfeeding mothers, the predominant view of the scholars is that they must make up for their missed fasts, but there is no obligation for them to feed any poor people in addition to this. We also remind those who did not pay their due zakah to pay it. Finally, we call upon those whom their Lord has freed from hell during Ramadan by opening the gate of forgiveness for them. I ask you by your Lord, do you return to enslavement by Satan and your sins after having been freed by Allah? Do you return to hell after your Lord has distanced you from it? Do you walk towards hell willingly and throw yourself into it? Indeed, Allah is all merciful towards the righteous, but His mercy and forgiveness is never blocked from the sinners who repent and return, so hasten towards your Lord.